I love the idea of that, Emil, that none of the service that we've been looking at today is service out of obligation. It springs from love. It springs from the heart. And that's real service for Him, isn't it, when it comes from there? I wonder, in our own assemblies that we come from, can we look around and see a sister like this? And when we do we help her? Do we encourage her? Do we ever have just a word? It's so often that we're looking for somebody to give us a word. You ever notice that? We're always looking for somebody to come up and say an encouraging word to us. But when was the last time that we went up and said, maybe to an older brother and sister, that we've really learned to appreciate them? It's not that we didn't appreciate them, but we've just never told them. We just have been busy, and we've had this we were doing and that we were doing, and we didn't just ever have the time to say, I love you. I love you for what you're doing. You've had such an influence on my life. I still stop and think, when I think of older sisters, of a sister that Stella would know, and Karen, I don't know who else would have known, Mrs. Fleshman. David, did you and Alexa know her? You've seen her. She looked like Corrie Ten Boom. She used to come to Grove City every year. Hey, she was a wonderful, faithful, I'll tell you. You all know who Corrie Ten Boom was? She was the woman that was in the concentration camps. She wrote the book, The Hiding Place.
Oh, I thought it was a guy.
No. What a profound effect this sister had. She lived probably 100 miles from the Bluefield meeting, I would guess that. And once a month, she was a widow. Once a month, every month, there were people that didn't come out locally because the weather was bad. And she drove those 100 miles. And she came to Bluefield. She served the Lord. She was an encouragement to the saints. She was a tremendous encouragement to my wife and I. We took her with us to conferences for several years and would drive her car. And she'd come along with her cookies, and she's one. You've just mentioned it. She radiated the Lord Jesus. Her life was just the demonstration of that. But I just say this, that oftentimes, you know, we've appreciated somebody, and we just haven't taken the time to go up and tell them, and to show the love of Christ to them in that way. How much it would mean to the meetings that we all represent here if there were that kind of an attitude in the part of each young brother and young sister, and us older ones too, that we would behave in such a way as I believe this sister did.
Now, where did someone like Phoebe or Dorcas get this kind of impetus, this kind of movement from, in order to have these public evidences ultimately, such as at the death of Dorcas, there are the garments displayed, or a letter like this concerning Phoebe? What is behind it all? I think we need to realize that these are persons who had a spiritual link with Christ. Okay? These are not persons who just decided, you know, the best thing to do is to do something for Christ, so here I am. I'm going to start sowing. I'm going to start doing this, that, and the other. These are persons who had a personal link with Christ. In the quiet of Dorcas's life, while she is sowing quietly, there is intimacy in communion with Christ. While Phoebe is being effective publicly, it's because of what's going on internally and quietly. I want to say this to our young sisters. You think sometimes that it's only the brothers who need to be able to expound all these truths. They're the ones that are going to be up on the stand. They're the ones that must be prepared. All I need to do is read a little passage here and there and once in a while, and that's enough. I believe, and I say this all the time, just as much as I know of Christ, my wife should know the same. Just as much as a brother knows of Christ, the sister should know the same. There is no excuse for spiritual poverty, my dear sisters, among you. No excuse. Just as there is none for us as brothers, there is none for you. Phoebe, Dorcas were persons who had an intimate link with Christ in their quiet little corners, quiet atmosphere. And that is what was the impetus for producing these kinds of works.
I'll just follow that, Dave. The door gets knocked on, and it's the elect lady of John's epistle. Mm-hmm. And someone comes bringing false doctrine. Mm-hmm. Who gives the answer? The sister. Mm-hmm. Bid him not Godspeed. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't know the Word of God, how is she ever to know? Mm-hmm. It's the same with us as brethren. The Lord is never going to bring a verse to my mind that I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. He does not work in that way. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so it is the occupation of each of us, brothers and sisters. Some of us were looking last evening from 2 Timothy 2:15 to study the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We are all responsible to do that. It's not just the responsibility of one group or the other. And I come back to what Emil was saying. We'll move into Priscilla and Aquila. Now we have the two, the husband and the wife, and the home that has been established for the Lord Jesus. I would reiterate what he said again as to the influence of a godly mother upon the children of that home. Because the brothers in this room will find out soon enough that the companies that you work for are going to demand an awful lot from you. They're going to be requiring a lot of time. You're going to feel bad about it a lot of the time because you're put into the vice where you have to choose. And many times to keep your job, you've got to work more hours than you really feel comfortable working. What a wonderful thing in those circumstances when you know that God has given you a wife that is able to make that difference up and to keep and establish that home. And I verily believe that the sister is the governing influence on the spiritual atmosphere many times of the home. You're gone. You're not there. You're out working. But there is the mother with the kids, teaching them the Word of God and teaching them, really, everything that they're going to learn. Otherwise, there's a television set and there's movies, and these things are all glad to teach. We live in a world where they are the teachers today. And you don't have to stray too far to see the evidence of it in the kids that are produced from that kind of an atmosphere. But what a wonderful thing. Here was Priscilla and Aquila, and Paul mentions them as my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, we mentioned yesterday, the first night, that their name is found six times in Scripture. Three times the man's name is mentioned first. Three times the sister's name is mentioned first. And I challenge you to do a study on that sometime. It's beyond the scope of the meeting here that we would have today. But you look into that and see those times when his name is mentioned first. And there is that which he is the man is responsible really to do. And then three times where her name is mentioned first. I generally think of the affection. Men think along the lines of the ducks being lined up all in a row, and what is right, and what is proper, and what makes good sense. And a sister, many times, brothers, I don't tell you she doesn't think along those lines, but she has a heart, an affection. And oftentimes, we lose sight of that. We're so occupied with the straight goal that we have set that we lose sight of what it means to have compassion and what it means to show love in a way. And a sister, a wife comes along and she gives us a gentle word. You see, because I'm not the Lord in that home or the master. She is my helpmeet. She is the one Christ has given me. She's the one Christ will give you to help you to maintain that testimony and that home and to bring those children up for the Lord. And if we as brothers rule with an iron fist, we'll drive our children out of the home, and we may drive our wife too. how important is this delicate balance of recognizing that a godly wife is from the Lord, her price is far above rubies. And those of us that have been married for any little time will tell you, and some for not so little, they'll tell you the same thing. What a wonderful thing to have a wife from the Lord. And a wife would tell you, what a wonderful thing to have a godly husband in the sense that, the Lord Jesus has given this one to me, that we would carry on for Him in our years of service for Him here.